Endless to Kortman. Back to Mirza. His shot saved. Rebound. Ronnie. Loose puck. Score!
Let's talk some hockey here.
Hockey, what a great game, eh?
Yeah. Brings everyone together, that's for sure.
Yeah. Tomorrow's the beginning of summer, so let's talk summer training. What do you remember about your days training in the summertime?
I think early on, the training was real simple. It was a bit of running long distance early on in your training, and then getting into more of the sprints off ice, and then getting on the ice. And back when I played, the way we got in shape was by playing 5-on-5, guys going full out in summer hockey, calling the offsides, no refs, and just the compete level was at the highest, and that's how we got in shape, by competing against each other. And you know, I look back, it helped me become a better player, but being a smaller player, I had to do more. I had to do extra, and a lot of times I would skate during the day and then afterwards go hit the gross grind, you know, three times a week, and change it up a little bit, kind of enjoy the beautiful British Columbia.
How early were you climbing the gross grind?
It started probably when I was about 20. That's when you started training in the summer a bit, playing for the Olympic team, realizing being in good shape is half the battle.
Do you remember your best time?
I think my best time was only like 47 minutes. There was guys that were like 42, had longer legs, but the gross grind is all about yourself. It's not about beating someone else. It's about beating your own time, and I became a stronger and better shape by trying to beat myself. I'd start off in the summer and then obviously try to beat that in increments as the season went on, the training went on during the summer.
Most of our kids are around 8, 10, 12 years old. Do you remember those days, what your summers were like back then?
Yeah. I didn't play hockey, played lacrosse.
Right.
So that was my training, because now you're running instead of gliding on skates. So playing other sports were very important. I think it made me a better all-around player. I could see the ice better. I think you become a better athlete, and that's how I see it anyways.
So how often were you playing lacrosse?
Once your hockey season was done, you're into lacrosse, and skates were tossed in the closet, and you started up lacrosse season. I think it was 3 months long, and realized, wow, I'm out of shape. And it took like a month to get in shape by just running now instead of gliding or what have you.
You have to work harder.
Absolutely.
And what are you doing on your own? Like, are you, you know, getting out with your brother, you know, after dinner, passing the ball around?
Yeah, I mean, I just love sports. So I played a lot of different sports. But when I got into lacrosse, I spent a lot of time stick handling and always, you know, instead of sometimes playing street hockey, you'd be going to the lacrosse box and practicing different shots. Different plays, and that was a great time in my life when you're a youngster like that, and you're playing a game because you love it.
And are you going out there with a group of friends?
There's times they used to let you go out at Kensington Rink, and there'd be like 10 different guys out there practicing different plays and making passes, and a lot of it was practicing shooting, and that's the only way you get better at shooting in any sport is to practice technique, but also muscle memory. So that's why in lacrosse it definitely made a difference. And in hockey, it makes even more of a difference.
Tell me about how you learned how to shoot. Like, do you remember anybody teaching you?
Yeah, the first person ever taught me how to shoot a puck was Alex Shibicki, who actually was our coach when I was a little. It was back then, it was pup hockey, so I would have been 6-7 years old, and he was teaching us, you know, how to shoot and finish after you shoot the puck, heading towards the net for a rebound, and that was instilled in me, you know, right away. And his son Bill went on to do very well. He got drafted by Detroit, played a little bit with them. He had some issues with groin injuries, but
I loved working with Bill at Base Hockey. We got to work side by side with each other, and I got one of the best tips from him. Is he told me a story about how they used to shoot a steel puck.
Yeah.
And now I always think about that. When kids are starting to plateau here, they're getting to a level where they've improved, but they're not really improving anymore.
Yeah.
So I get them shooting the heavy pucks, and you know, a lot of kids love it. They get pretty excited about, you know, building strength by, you know, shooting the heavy
puck. Yeah, it's a great way. I know Brett Hall was one of the best shooters I ever played with, and back when I played against him when he was at North Shore Winter Club, I mean, he would be practicing just shooting from the slot, and he would shoot heavy pucks, the orange puck, the steel pucks, because that then when he got a real puck, it felt like nothing. So when he shot the puck, it just zinged off his stick. And obviously he went on to score, I think, 898 goals or something like that. So he was a stud when it came to shooting a puck.
There's a video of Jaromir Jagr training. Even when he's older, I think he was in his 30s.
Yeah.
And he had his daily regimen of practice. So he's actually teaching it on YouTube. And he's got these drills with these big, huge, what he calls pancakes.
Yeah.
And he's just rifling these. They look like plates of weight. You know, things that you throw on dumbbells, right? And he's shooting those into the net.
Well, if you can shoot one of those, the puck's nothing. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like anyone's ever practiced shooting, the blue pucks are super light. You're able to just rifle that puck. And then by shooting a heavy puck, your technique has to be even better. Because if it's not, then you don't get any action on the puck. It's not going to be like a flying saucer. It's going to be wobbling. So building that strength is crucial, and that's something in the summer. This is when you do that. That's an easy way to become a better player.
Now, you scored thousands of goals. You've got the WHL record. Well, you used to have it anyways, yeah. But how did you learn how to score? Like, when did you notice that you were able, you know, to be the leader on the team and be the guy that they needed to go to get the goals?
Well, I think scoring for me in hockey came a little bit later. I really figured out how to score from day one in lacrosse. And I think understanding how to outsmart the goalie, look one way, shoot the other. And then eventually as you get to a higher level, especially in junior, a lot of it's muscle memory, knowing where to get to. And when you get to that spot, what's going to be open. And a lot of times I would like to go high glove, but I'd have to take a couple steps to make sure the goalie's moving. So a lot of being a goal scorer is opening up the goalie, and that's important. Mm-hmm. You just don't come down and shoot. You open up the goalie. I mean, I look back at Guy Lafleur. I think he was one of the best at making the goalie move, and then he would find the hole that he created. And I think that's something that, especially now, the goalies are in the NHL are 6'6", 6'7". There's not much room. So you have to move them to be able to actually score. If not, you're just going to hit them every time.
Gretzky was a lot like that. You know,
well,
come
look at
in,
his goals.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I mean, the crazy thing is the best player in the game didn't have a very good shot. He had a great slap shot. His snap shot was terrible. His wrist shot was good, but he could never take a snapshot. He never scored on it. It was always a wrist shot or a nice backhand. But when he did that, one time you'd see him come down, go down over the blue line, cut across, and then just rifle it top shelf, bar down.
A fake slap shot that he's got.
That's right. He would make everyone move, and he was a master at that, and he was the first one really that took that shot to the next level. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's get into the NHL and talk a little bit about the 2023 season. It was the season of the Bruins, eh? What a team that was.
I mean, here you go. You got a team that I thought was easy to predict was going to win the whole thing. They had everything going. It just seemed like everything fell apart. I know that Bergeron was hurt, but, I mean, to the point, I just think what happened was sometimes when you succeed so good during the season, you feel that you've accomplished something, and maybe they felt they accomplished too much. when the end game, obviously, is to get that ring, get your name on that cup, because it's there forever. And I think by winning so many games, I think it hurt him.
So let's talk about that series. Did you see that Panthers-Bruins series?
Yeah, I loved it. It was probably the best series in the sense of an underdog led by a young Tkachuk, who definitely is not the most skilled skater, not the most skilled player, but has the most heart right now in the league. And I think everyone saw that. He's a champion. He wants to win at all costs.
Now, they were down 3-1 in that series, right? Did you notice what happened? Like, how does a team change the momentum?
There was just no quit in these guys. And you noticed that with Tkachuk, he was getting to the net and was frustrating the other team. And he really carried the team on his back and started making guys believe that anything's possible. Then, obviously, Reinhardt started catching on fire, really through Tkachuk's hard work. And Reinhardt's a skilled player, and they all felt that momentum. And slowly, everybody in the team started feeling confident.
Now, you've been a part of a few teams that have come back from a 3-1 deficit, right?
Yeah. Three teams, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And it's really having
can you describe one of those scenarios where there's a complete momentum shift? How does that happen? What do you remember about
that? Well, I think it's really... When another team's up 3-1, they are expected to win that fourth game. And the hardest game to win is the fourth game, as everyone knows. And you win one, and all of a sudden the pressure starts slowly turning on the other team. And... That's the hardest part, is the one team that should be winning this thing, the momentum starts changing and the pressure starts mounting. And then all of a sudden players start pointing fingers that, oh, this guy didn't do his job that night. When the other team, everyone is all pulling on the same rope, and it happened to us in 94. And I mean, it happened many times that the momentum changes. It could be from a guy blocking a shot. It could be from a guy not getting into a fight, taking the hits, so then you go on the power play. And all it takes is one play. And all of a sudden, much like in 94 when Pavel Bure scored an incredible goal from a pass from Brown, our whole team instantly felt like anything's possible. And that momentum comes from one person. One person makes that big play. And I think every night after that, everyone on our team felt that they could be that next guy for the next game. And then every night it was a different guy being the hero. And I think that's the best part of the game of hockey.
Yeah, you guys went into Dallas and kind of seemed to just dominate after, and Toronto.
I mean, and another turning point. I mean, Bure did changed the tide because he was a superstar. I mean, he hit Chirla to the point of, I don't think Chirla even remembers what happened.
Do you remember seeing that hit?
That was just incredible.
What do you remember about that moment? Where were you?
I just remember, I believe I was skating up the wall, and what happened was, a shift before that, I think Chirla slew-footed him somewhere in the corner. And Pavel was the type of guy that wouldn't back down, but he'd wait. One thing he would do is wait, take a number, and then he pretty well took him out. Should he have got kicked out of the game? Yes. If you watch it, it's definitely a 5-minute elbow to the head. But the game was played differently back then. There was way more intimidation. The refs, had only one ref watching. Sometimes they'd be looking the wrong way, and they just see a guy on the ice, so they didn't know what happened. They didn't go and review it like they do now. So you can get away with a lot more back then.
Well, that's the classic lesson, right? Your coach has always told you don't retaliate in front of the ref.
Absolutely.
You know, take the number and wait until you get the opportunity.
And smart players will do that. And, you know, I look back at like guys like Tim Hunter. He'd be one that would do that. And he's been around the block. I mean, he's played on some tough games, playing Edmonton against Calgary back in the day when they won a cup. So I think overall, toughness is important. And when I look at a team, it's team toughness is what it's all about. And sometimes team toughness is being able to take a hit, waiting for the right time to give it back.
Canucks were playing Minnesota, and you were playing for Minnesota. And then you guys were down 3-1 in that series, and you came back. So what do you remember about that series?
I remember listening to a very intelligent coach, and that's Jacques Lemaire, 11 Stanley Cups. And we had a hard time with the one line with Bertuzzi and Naslin and Morrison. They were just outskating. Wes Walls was our checking centerman. And Wes was a great skater, but they were moving the puck so well that we just couldn't stop them. And then there really came a time when, I believe going into game five, that Jacques Lemaire said, "Oh, here's our game plan." And we're like, okay, what's this guy going to say, right? And he comes in, he goes, "Willie Mitchell, you know what? We know you're tough. We know you can fight anyone in here." What Jacques was worried about was they kept dumping the puck into Willie Mitchell's corner, and Bertuzzi would run him. And there's kind of a thing when you, as a player, you'll take the hit for the team all the time. And Bertuzzi would be coming in and just creaming Willie Mitchell, who's a big guy, and the fans would get on their feet. He would give them energy by crushing Willie Mitchell, because Willie Mitchell would do anything for his team, and he was taking the hit for the team. And Jacques Lemaire says, "Boys, tonight, Willie Mitchell, you're not allowed to go in the corner first. Let's see if this guy wants to go in first." Sure enough, first shift, Bertuzzi puts it in, and then Willie Mitchell just lets him go right by to go get the puck, and then Willie Mitchell just crushes Bertuzzi. And this went on for like 10 times in a row. And all of a sudden, Bertuzzi's losing it. No one's standing up cheering. Like, no one's gaining momentum from that type of a play. Such a simple play, but it's a big play. That now all of a sudden, Bertuzzi's taking really bad penalties, slashing guys, because he's frustrated. He can't get the team going. And obviously, Bertuzzi's a great hockey player. But for someone who's won 11 Stanley Cups to come up with something so simple. And after that happened, the rest of the series, I think Bertuzzi was really having a hard time. He was unsuccessful scoring. It wasn't happening. Their line was ineffective now. And then all of a sudden, we're on the power play. I think our power play was 48%. And we ended up beating them just scoring on the power play and then playing 1-4-4, which is one forward and the four guys back, and making it really tough on them. And we took them out just because of having such a smart coach that knew with our talent, because our team wasn't nearly as talented as that team, that this is how you're the only way you can beat them. And that's pretty well how we beat them that series.
So let's talk about the Canucks nowadays. Yeah. What are these guys doing? What do you know about what's happening right now?
Well, the good thing is Rick Tocchet's a good friend of mine. I played with him in Phoenix. He was my winger, just a special player, but a special team player. Does it all. He'll fight for you. He'll score for you. He'll block shots for you. And he's a smart hockey player. And he was a type that, if guys were out of shape, he had a hard time with it. I mean, he would actually go get the guys who were out of shape and work out with you. And would he force you to work out? Well, he had the energy that you wanted to get better. You wanted to work out. So all the guys started training harder, lifting more weights, doing programs that he liked were more like he'd have 8 different things set up around, and it was all about a minute, 30 seconds, hard as you can, lifting weights over here, like doing different stations. And it was all about going hard for that minute and a half type thing. So when you're on the ice, you just can go full out the whole time. The good thing about the Canucks right now with Rick Tocchet, none of these guys are going to be fooling around. there's one objective, and that's to win and play good defense. And from what I've seen, the Canucks have kind of played more of a wide open game that they would lose a lot of games just on not knowing how to shut down teams or shut their game down and just think offense. And, you know, you look at the teams that won the Stanley Cup, especially Vegas, defensively, they're outstanding. And that creates their opportunity offensively. And I think you'll start seeing the numbers come down, goals against. And you got to know how to play with a lead, and you got to know how to play when you're not leading. And I think these couple things with Rick at the helm, it's going to help. Are they going to make the playoffs? It's going to be tight, but I would bet on Rick Tocchet can figure out how he can get in there. I don't think they're going to be winning the Stanley Cup, you know, for at least a couple years, but they definitely could use some big, mean defensemen back there, a couple of them, and make other teams pay the price.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Vegas Stanley Cup win.
Yeah.
How did they win? How did they pull it off this year? What do you think?
Well, I mean, George McPhee did a great job, their scouting staff, addressing when they first came in the league, they almost did it, but they were missing a couple pieces. And, you know, they picked up a couple players, Barbashev, I think, how do you say his name, Barbashev, just a guy who finishes checks, plays up and down, strong, gets to the net. And then, obviously, Eichel was the wild card. Am I a huge Eichel fan? Not really, but now he's growing on me because I think he learned it's about a team. I think in Buffalo it was kind of all about him. And I think the guys around him in Las Vegas taught him, you know, the guys like Stone, what a special player he is. You know, Marceau has always been good. He's always going to be a good player. But if you look at also their defense, move the puck up the ice, but also they got those guys that finish their checks that not everyone talks about. But once again, you know, the Martinez, smart player, won cups before and came up big again in the games. And yeah.
Alex Pietrangelo is a big part of,
huge.
Of Vegas' yeah. championship. And I wanted to ask you about this. St. Louis wins the cup with Pietrangelo, O'Reilly, Tarasenko, Perron, they're all gone. How does a team like St. Louis win the Stanley Cup and let all those guys go?
Well, if you've got a salary cap, you can only pay. What happens, you win a cup, all of a sudden you're going to get a couple guys wanting $8 to $11 million. It's just what the market is. And you can only spend so much. And one by one, you lose one guy, you think you're going to be okay. You're doing okay. But like you said, then all of a sudden you lose another guy. And now your team is a completely different team. But it's hard to keep players to take a less salary to stay to win the cup. I think they have only so many years to make money. And they're trying to do the best they can. And you don't know, maybe there could be problems between coaches and GMs with the player that they had some rifts during the year. I don't know. This is stuff that stays in-house. But, yeah, I that didn't make sense to me. Pietrangelo was a great player. And to win a cup now, I mean, good on him.
The big news this year is where Connor Bedard was going to go, and it looks like he's going to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
What do you think about him? Is he for real?
You know, like, I always worry, being a smaller player, I know what I went through, but I've talked to a lot of people that know the game. I mean, I haven't scouted it like the scouts and stuff, and they totally believe that he's got it all. And the reason I say that is because his lateral movement is exceptional, but is also he's got a sixth sense on who's coming around him like Gretzky. So he can feel the guy coming to hit him. Now, one-on-one going against top two defensemen in the NHL is going to be a little bit different than going down on a junior player that he's going to have to figure out, okay, how do I get better to be able to beat these big boys and still keep my head up? But one thing he does have is a most incredible release on his shot. And everywhere he's gone, he's won. And everywhere he's gone, people are in awe of him. So I wish him the best. I mean, I'm sure he'll figure it out. It could take him a year or two. But I think if Cole Caulfield can do it, I think this kid's going to be better.
Let's finish off with talking a little bit about your son, Ty. How's he doing? Where is he going?
Ty had an interesting year. He was with Iowa Wild for half the season and then ended up going to the DEL in the German League with Ingolstadt, which is a small town, but they had a great team, and they made it all the way to the finals. And he scored some huge goals with like 7 seconds left, or they would have been out of it. And then another game, he scored a huge goal with like 2 minutes to go to win the game. Like, he's scoring crucial goals, and then Berlin came calling, and that's one of the best teams to play for. And they were super interested in him, and they watched him, and they really... I look forward to seeing what happens this year. Ty's a hardworking kid. He's training already, and the biggest thing is he's a good person, and I know a lot of people wish him well, and should be fun watching to see him play in the Dell this year in Berlin.
You know, I'll never forget the times that I witnessed you guys playing two-on-two hockey at Magic Hockey in Langley, and just seeing you guys scrap against each other and you pushing them and him
I mean
struggling, but you taught him a lot of things that
the one thing is don't give up ever, and that's something that one thing he does have is he fights right to the end, and I think as an athlete you want that in a player, and the teams that seem to have those kind of players win championships, and the more guys that never quit. Much like, you know, you look at the top NHL teams that they never back down. They always win the cup. I mean, Florida, they end up getting some really bad injuries, losing Tkachuk. You know, he played 2 games, I think, hurt. Losing him with his game of no quit no matter what, you need those guys to make the rest of the guys the same way. And you need that leader. It's not always a guy with a C, but it's a guy that is pretty obvious that he is a leader on how to win.
So are you going back on the ice with him this summer or what?
Yeah, I've been – I was
on the
ice.
Can you keep up with him?
I can't keep up with him now. He's too fast now. But I've been out on the ice with him, feeding him passes, and he's trying to get better, trying to work on his one-timer. And as an athlete, you want to work – especially in the summer, on the things you're not good at. I remember as a young kid, I could only stop on my right skate, like the right side, better than the left. So for all those kids out there, work on the stuff that you're not good at. And then in the regular season, that's when you end up become a better player, because now you're either stopping on your left or right. You're able to backhand, top shelf, or fake a shot, then shoot. So work on the things that you're not great at.
Okay, great. Well, I think that's where we'll end things off tonight.
Yeah.
And thanks for everybody for watching. And hopefully we'll do one or two of these every month.
Absolutely.
And get back into letting everybody know that you're back in town and you're willing to take some questions and talk to the kids about, you know, how they can improve. And that's pretty much what it's all about here at Slapshot Alley. We want to help you guys learn how to shoot. We want to help you guys learn how to score. That's the funnest part about hockey. But, you know, also, you know, learning life lessons as well. And I think that you've got a really good foundation for all that kind of stuff, too.
I appreciate that. And like you said, if people are interested, they can call you and figure out. We'll do some live shows like this. And then get a couple questions and try to help out the parents or even the young kids. Hopefully we'll give them, I know we'll give them the right answers. You know
line comes Bobby Zanetti. He can shoot, but he elects the pass. Nice pass to Ronnie Wentz. He scores.
Oh, a nice tic-tac-toe pass as well. Those two know each other. They played together for a couple of years. Of course, we're on the National Minter Championship a couple of years ago.
Get into position to get a shot away. Let's it go. Ronnie scores in front of the net. He grabbed a loose puck after Linden took the shot.
But the puck is cleared out as Momesso goes in after it against Losicki. Momesso coming up with the puck, plays it in front. Here's Ronning, shoots, scores! Clip Ronning.
Back to Ronning. Linden's in front of the net. Ronning fakes the shot. Ronning gets set. Now lets it go. He scores! It may have been deflected in front, but Cliff Ronning let the shot go from the point. Starts back. Ronning jumping up into the play. Over for Ronning. He scores! Cliff Ronning has won it for the Vancouver Canucks. Took the pass. Went to his backhand, and Vancouver wins.
Now becomes it better. Ronning here on the right side is over the Los Angeles line. Takes one, lets it go. He scores.
Linden with some good work keeps it in. Ronning scores as he was in front of Vernon, and on Linden's shot, he was able to grab it and showed for man on the attack.
Here comes Ronning. Ronning moving into the slot. He shoots. He scores. Ronning, if his third goal gives Vancouver a 1-0 lead, he had Sergei.
Here's Ronning. The tricky Ronning with Momesso coming in. Scores.